You're listening to Polycyclones from the Political Science Department at Iowa State University, a podcast that explores the wide variety of ways our alumni and students are making a difference. Welcome to the Polycyclones podcast. I'm Alex Tugness, chair of the Political Science Department, and on this episode, we're going to talk about political science as a path toward a career in law and public service with Brad Hart. Brad graduated from Iowa State, went on to law school in Texas, and then has practiced law for many years. He's also been involved in public service in a wide variety of ways, including serving as mayor of Cedar Rapids from 2018 to 2021. So, Brad, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Alex. It's going to be fun to be here.
So, Brad, maybe just start off by talking a little bit about how you got interested in politics to start with. Like, you know, something led you to become a political science major, you know, back when you were here at Iowa State. What got you interested in politics?
Well, my choice of political science was probably primarily based on my dislike for math and science. I wish I had taken more math and science now, in hindsight, but the political science just kind of interested me always. I also had minors in history and philosophy, so I stayed away from math and science as much as possible. I really thought about being a teacher, I would have enjoyed that, I think, but I also thought that, especially back when I was in school, they didn't pay teachers very well, and I didn't think I'd be comfortable earning what teachers earned, even the good teachers. So I thought I'm going to go to law school, and that's political science was perfect for that.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so it was your interest in law that's really kind of what drew you to political science. And that's kind of actually how your career ended up playing out, right? So after you graduated, you did end up going to law school in Houston. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about what your career in law has been like. And how your political science degree helped prepare you for what you've been doing as an attorney?
Well, I went to Houston because of the big city, and it was booming back in the late 70s. And I had several Iowa State friends who ended up in Houston. So it was an easy transition. When Houston was booming, I was representing banks and developers. And it was fun because new things were being built, lots of projects going up, and it was really fun. Then the price of oil went from $32 a barrel to $8, and Houston's economy suffered greatly. And my work turned into more foreclosures and loan workouts. No one was building anything anymore. So it was very different, and it wasn't, frankly, much fun. And our daughter was born, and we decided to come back to Iowa where she would know her family, go to better schools, and we could vacation someplace other than Iowa when we always had to come back to see family at Christmas and Thanksgiving. I've said this so many times, but political science and philosophy included gave me a chance to think about the world kind of differently. So many times in law and in life, the answers, it's not black and white. The issues are not black and white. You really have to stop and think about it and analyze it a little bit more. And political science for me just caused me to think through issues. And it caused me to be, I think, an analytical thinker. And that can serve you well. I think it served me well as mayor, but also in my job serving clients. They have an issue. They have a goal. I'm trying to help them get to that goal. And rarely is it a straight shot. You have to think it through and think, oh, there's way too much risk if we do that, or it's way too expensive to go that way. So you really have to think it through. So I think, again, the helping me become an analytical thinker, that's what political science did for me.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that. One of the things that, you know, in my teaching over the years, a lot of what I've done is teach political philosophy. And so one of the things I, you know, sometimes tell students is when you're getting a chance to read texts and to really think hard about what the argument actually says, what the author is trying to communicate. You're both learning some textual interpretation skills that are going to be really helpful, you know, if you pursue a career in law, because that's a lot of what, you know, the legal profession is the interpretation of text. But it's also giving you a chance to start thinking about like the larger ideas about justice and freedom and equality that are the reason we have laws, right? You know, there's normally values and goals that people have related to those ideas that are why we pass the laws we pass. And so studying political science gives you a chance to also think about the why behind the law, which is really important when you encounter these things like what you're describing, right? Where there's gray area and there's more than one way you can interpret it. If you have some analytical skills about thinking about the why, you may be in a better position to give your clients better advice, to think about what's going to be plausible or not plausible to a judge, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my senior partners in the Houston law firm was Joel Coolidge, was kind of famous for saying, sometimes you have to just sit back in your high back leather lawyer chair and ponder it for a while. And he just meant think it through. Don't always jump at the first answer, because it might come back and bite you. So that was one of Joelism.
That's fantastic. So you ended up moving back to Iowa, and so talk a little bit about what your legal practice has looked like since you came back to Iowa.
Came back to Iowa and to Cedar Rapids at a firm, Bradley and Riley, and they had about 15 lawyers. They have maybe about 28 now. And Cedar Rapids is a very unique community in that there are a lot of people with money. The telecom industry was there, and then MCI bought the local company, and a lot of those people didn't have jobs any longer, but they had lots of money. And they wanted to start their own business or buy other businesses. So I really started doing much more M&A work, mergers and acquisitions, I help people buy and sell businesses. And that is, to me, is really fun, because my client wants to buy or sell a business, and it's my job to help them get there. And usually we were successful, and it sounds strange maybe in Iowa that you do M&A work, but I would say the last 15 years of my practice, I worked on 10 to 20 multi-million dollar transactions every year. Middle market, what we call middle market, 20 million to 220 million. And the fun thing about that is we're often dealing with lawyers out of Iowa, lawyers in New York. I helped clients buy and sell some products in Europe. And so I was dealing with lawyers in the Netherlands. And so it was fun to do that. And it's kind of surprising, I think, for people to think that kind of practice, you can have that kind of a practice in Iowa. And you really can.
Yeah, and what you're describing really fits in with one of the things Iowa State has really been trying to emphasize lately. Like, Iowa State has tried to have innovation be like one of its core values. And part of innovation means businesses are going to have to change, right? So sometimes that means you've been doing 10 different things and you really need to focus on just two of those, right? But that may mean selling off some parts of the business so that you can focus and innovate better in the part that you keep. Sometimes, you know, a business may have a vision, but in order to execute that vision, they need to acquire some capacities that another business has. And so, yeah, people in that field of law are really playing a vital role in helping that be done in a like fair and orderly way, so that businesses can both, you know, expand and contract and change, so that innovation can happen.
Absolutely. And when you're buying a business, then you have to go through a due diligence process to really help your client fully understand the business the client wants to buy. And that includes reviewing contracts, reviewing patents, looking at employment manuals, and it goes on and on, looking at everything you can so that you, again, can advise your client to say, here are the issues we should be concerned about. Here are the pluses that this target business has. So it's that part of it is fun, because you really do, it is a variety of work to do.
So let's now transition a little bit and talk about some of your public service work. You've done a public service in a wide variety of different contexts, and there's a lot of different things we could talk about. But maybe let's focus on your time as mayor of Cedar Rapids. So maybe give people a little bit of background on Cedar Rapids' local politics, what the role of the mayor is, and how you approach that role.
Sure. Cedar Rapids' form of government, it's a city council, city manager form of government. So the city manager runs the day-to-day affairs, much like the president of a corporation, a company would. And the council is more like the board of directors. We set policy, but the only person we hire and fire is the city manager. The city manager hires and fires everyone else who works for the city. A key thing for me, and I think the success of local government is Cedar Rapids is a nonpartisan form of government. So I didn't run. Nobody runs as a Democrat or Republican. Frankly, I have no interest in doing that. But the fact that we were just elected to make the best decisions we could for Cedar Rapids without worrying about what Des Moines or Washington, D.C. wanted us to do was interesting to me. And frankly, when I moved back to Cedar Rapids and started at the law firm, that law firm expected lawyers to be involved in the community. And one of my senior partners there told me once, and I think this is great advice for anyone, is that if I was volunteering for an organization and I didn't see myself moving up into a leadership role in that organization, then I probably don't care enough to make a difference for the organization or for me. And I've stepped away from a few organizations, nonprofits that it just wasn't what I thought it was. But everything else, I've ended up leading and chairing the board because I believed in the cause. And so that then gave me information about the community. I kind of honed my leadership skills, and then someone asked me to consider running for mayor, and I said, what? And talked to some people, and they said that would be a great idea. So I felt like it would give me an opportunity to try to serve the entire community instead of just the clients, the people who were being served by the various nonprofits that I worked with.
So in a situation like that where you've got a kind of nonpartisan framework for how the city council is going to work, that seems like it creates a really unique opportunity. Like a lot of people's perception of what it means to be in politics right now is kind of very partisan and zero sum, right? It's kind of this like war between competing sides and, you know, a gain for me is a loss for you and vice versa. So talk to me a little bit about how a political science background helps you when you're trying to maintain that kind of an environment where people can look at the problems facing Cedar Rapids and try to think through how to solve them without getting sidelined by partisanship.
All right. It goes back to, again, being an analytical problem solver, but also knowing that there are two sides to most stories. And so it's part of trying to figure out what the best answer is. But then I also had to discuss these issues with council members who might have had a different view, and I would learn from them, from their point of view. But it's kind of amazing when it's a nonpartisan form of government. I bet we voted unanimously on 95% of the issues that we voted on. And we would take votes. You know, lots of things are fairly routine in city government, but we had to deal with the George Floyd protests. We had to deal with the pandemic. And then in 2020, in August of 2020, we had the derecho there was no power in the entire city. Unless you had a generator, the entire city lost power. And so we had to deal with all those kind of big issues. And yet, because we were committed to just serving Cedar Rapids, we moved things along without much fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, the period of time where you were mayor of Cedar Rapids is you know, one of the most eventful, you know, stretches of 3 years, right, in the history of the city. But I think it's also just important, particularly in those areas, right, if people are able to come together across partisan lines to try to figure out how to solve problems and try to help make make things in the city better. So maybe to conclude, if you were going to give advice to someone who's either interested in a career in law, maybe public service, maybe both, what pieces of advice would you give to them?
Well, I'm going to beat a dead horse here, but take your political science courses and, again, maybe sprinkle in some philosophy courses just so you can learn to think a little differently. The average person just thinks things are black and white, and they're not. So help yourself become an analytical problem solver. But you have to read, and you have to be able to write. Take courses that require you to write, because you need to be able to communicate verbally and written word. The other thing is, I would encourage people, students in particular, get involved in something outside of yourself and your coursework, whether it's a club within Iowa State or it's a nonprofit in your hometown or in Ames. Find something that you believe in, that cause, and spend some time volunteering with them. You'll learn some leadership skills. You'll see what other good volunteers are, and you'll see some bad volunteers, and you'll learn from that too. It'll help you with your time management. But I just give you a different perspective on the lives that some people have that that nonprofit or that cause is serving. And I just think it will broaden your perspective on the world, and that's there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, Brad, thank you for that. I think, you know, you've given people a lot to think about in terms of the way political science can relate to both law and to public service. And thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Alex. Good luck, students.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Views expressed are not necessarily those of Iowa State University or the Department of Political Science. If you have ideas for topics or guests for future episodes, or if you want to share your thoughts, email polycyclones, that's PolyCyclones@iastate.edu.